Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Steve Arterburn here. It's a great day of mourning and celebration. This is my birthday today.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Steve. Happy birthday to you.
Anyway, appreciate your prayers. Mom said I would either be a president, prison, or dead. And I'm not any of those, so what do you think about that? But I get what she was saying. It's going to be a risky life. Anyway, we're glad you're with us here today. This is a taped program, by the way, because my wife and I are in Miami. Why? Well, number one, warm water, ocean, wonderful. Sand, all that. So anyway.
Seriously, the world is a better place because you entered it on that day.
There's millions of people.
The world is a better place.
Well, that's awfully nice of you to say that. And anyway,
I'm one. My life is so different because of New Life and because of healing as a choice. Oh boy, did that change things for me.
Thank you. Now that we got that out of the way. Hey, maybe it's not your birthday. But in heaven, anyway, I'm not going to go there. All right, so
what?
Here's, you know, like they're celebrating your birthday in heaven or whatever. Oh, by the way,
because heaven's eternal and the time has no relevance.
I don't know. It was a bad
thing. Trying to go metaphysical.
Okay, here's
a bit
what I was thinking. So even though it's not your birthday, you're celebrated in heaven every single day or something like that.
I think you're celebrating, not celebrating.
Yeah, maybe.
More about him than us, kind of a...
Let's talk about us all wearing pink. Let's talk about that.
We all do have pink on, and you can find that at the NRV network there. Okay, most likely you're just now hearing this show because whatever we just said got edited out. So anyway, we're glad you're with us here today, and if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And let's just talk about something. You know, it is our 30th anniversary this year. And you and Henry and I, I don't know how long ago we started doing the program together, but it was over 20 years ago at least.
We were 11 years old.
Yeah, 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And in that time, you know, I think you would have to say the phone calls have changed. It was kind of typical that a lot of depression, but now depression's kind of the exception in a call. Much more about addiction, sexual addiction, infidelity, everywhere.
Broken relationships are huge now.
Yeah, really are. But answers are the same. And it's not that we don't believe the Bible to have answers. It's that we believe that you have to apply the whole counsel of God.
All 30,000 verses.
All of them, not just one. And so we do the best that we can and have been for 30 years providing that whole counsel and bringing in new folks like Dr. Benton. And everything that we've done in the area of this radio program, the people that have tried to be on and don't last, I don't know why, chemistry, whatever, but the people that are here, every one of them are little theologians or big theologians before they're therapist and counselor.
Isn't it funny how counselors get called like not Christian, but you have made, because of what you've done, this a very biblical as well as research-based approach. I just think it's my hat's off to you because of the quality you bring out here in this with the people you bring.
Well, thanks, John. But you know, everything we do, we're always asking. Now, Is that in line with what Scripture
says? Every time.
If it's not, we're going to come back on and say, oh, but you don't hear us coming back on saying, hey, you know what, that wasn't biblical, because of the foundation of the co-host. The Bible is very important. We'll be back with your calls right after this.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., July 20th to the 22nd.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future, and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We were talking about the difference between some kinds of counseling at the break here. And, you know, there are folks that I call it kind of a reductionistic approach.
That's a good word.
That they just take it down and think, well, just do this, repent of your sin, everything's going to be great. Life is more complicated.
So is the Bible. You know, Hinder and McLeod and I wrote How People Grow. We talked about the different models that are incomplete. The information model, which says you just put a bunch of Bible verses in your head, which you need.
Yeah.
And then the supernatural model, get rid of all the bad guys in your head, and all this. And the experience model and the confess your sins model. And we said, it's all there, but don't get caught on one reductionistic hobby horse that doesn't take the whole counsel of God.
Okay, now let me tell you about how people grow. If anybody wanted to know, okay, what's the biblical foundation of good Christian counseling? That'd be the book. I mean, can you think of a better example?
I'm kind of probably not the right guy to answer that question, Steve.
But really, I mean, you know, Boundaries has sold millions and millions of books, but How People Grow, if you want to know, here's the foundation for everything.
It's a system book.
It is.
Look at the biblical system.
It really is a great one. All right, let's go to the calls. What do you think?
Let's do it.
How about it? I'm feeling, I don't know, just feel it. Emily, Paris, Texas, KWRD, listening on the line number 6. Emily, you're on with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Alice Benton, Steve Arterburn here. Welcome. How are you?
I'm okay. How are y'all?
We're doing okay. How can we help?
I've just got a question that I guess it's a long and short answer, but I've got 2 wonderful little boys, a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And I guess me and my husband, I've always been the patient, calm, just if anything happens, take a deep breath, let's step back. And my husband's always been the one that's like snapped to it, like just starts yelling, starts getting angry already, like doesn't even like think before he talks. And I've noticed in the last year that I've kind of picked that up. Like I'm too quick to react. I don't stop. And I mean, I've now noticed that my 3-year-old is getting that way. And like, I've noticed me yelling more and just getting frustrated. And I know it's a simple answer, like just stop and think before you speak, you know, but it's difficult. And now with 2 of them and.
Well, wait, Emily, before we even go down that road. What in you made it okay for a man to just be angry all the time? Well, where does that come from, where you would put up with a man's response to a child 3 and younger as angry? Why? Help.
I don't know. I mean, he's not always. It's just like when they do something. Well, they're kids. Like, okay, he doesn't want to pick up his first.
2 out of 5.
Emily,
times.
Let me interrupt this a bit. Okay. We love your kids, but we want to get to the core here. If your husband was on the show with us right now and we said, Sam, we understand that you are too angry and you snap at the kids, would he say, yeah, Emily's talked to me about it and she's worked with me on that and she's told me about it and how it affects her? Or would he say, oh, no, nobody's talking to me about it. Nobody's confronting me. What would he tell us about your intervention on this?
He would definitely tell you that I've told him that we need to do something about it. But he kind of just shuts down after that and then gets angry with me and like, oh, I'm just doing it. Well,
all right, that gives us somewhere to go.
Because he didn't, yeah, well, he didn't grow up with a dad, so I get that. But his grandfather, and it's a long issue, I get that. But he doesn't want to listen to me when I say, hey, let's go talk to our preacher. Let's go talk to our friends, you know.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, they're just going to think bad of me. And I was like, you're not a bad person, you just... this is an issue.
Yes. Okay. So now let's talk about these kids, and then we're going to come back to your husband, the anger, and now you're starting to react in anger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
What's the question for us?
How can I, besides just stop and think, what is there to do when my kids are either A, driving me crazy, or just doing something that they know they're not supposed to do? How do I control myself? Is there a trick or a tip? Or, I mean, I did 2 years with my oldest son, and I was still the great parent, and now all of a sudden, I would say all of a sudden, this past year, I've like, I can't control myself. Does that make sense? Like, I know I'm an adult, and I should be able to control myself. But it's like, when he does something, I, like, snap to, like, I just get angry. And
yeah.
It's like, all right. I can't do that.
Yeah. And so you want to change. You don't want to snap.
Emily,
yes.
I think that there are some simple but not easy biblical principles that you can put into action.
I love
action.
That. There's a lot of simple but not easy in the Bible.
Yeah. And you can invite your husband into this, and the power will be through your humility and your desire to change yourself. I also have young kids about the same age, and I have some sense of what you're going through. Our children reveal our weaknesses and our character flaws we had no idea we had before we had the kids. So I think that there's some anger and irritability that we can't necessarily control before it comes out. That's part of the problem. It comes out of our control. But what we do afterwards, we can get in our control. So there are three steps I want you to start taking with your boys, and I want you to invite your husband into this process, keeping the focus on yourself. I need help to change. I'm getting angry, and I want to be different, but I, Emily, can't do it on my own. So after you've yet again gotten upset with your kids, you confess to the kids, oh, Mom got angry again. I raised my voice. I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. Would you boys forgive me? And would you pray with me? Would you pray for Mama that God would help me? I've done this with my 3-year-old since she was 2, and she is so responsive to this, Emily. And what's beautiful is kids start applying it to their own behavior if we model it enough. But then I think you also need to dig into and address some of the other roots of your stress, because it's probably not just the boys. It's probably not just their behavior. There are other things adding on to your upset that then overflows with the boys. But those three steps, if you ask your husband to do that with you, you will start to see some supernatural grace come into those situations and those relationships.
John, you got a thought here?
Okay.
No, I thought that was just really good.
Okay.
I love it that you can take control of what you can take control of, what Alice said. Well done.
So I often will reveal a problem about me. I don't mind revealing a problem, but I'm going to now go the opposite direction and address this. The other day, we were talking to the kids, and I said out loud, I was furious, and they started laughing because they've never seen me furious.
Wow.
And so I have some credibility in
yeah,
this because I got to tell you, I had a really amazing anger problem when I was in high school. Mm. I could tell you a few instances.
And you
about
wrote a book
that.
About it.
So, The Angry Man, sold 2 copies. Anyway, there is this thing called the Serenity Prayer that's much more than about serenity. It's about acceptance. It says, God, grant me this serenity. so that I can accept the things I can't change. And I would just invite you to start realizing the things that you can't change and start to accept. There is no way that any reaction or response is going to change these children. Me getting angry is probably going to make it worse than better. I've got to choose something else from deep inside of me. And I got to find out what is the real dang source of the anger. And then you have a choice of how you respond.
Oh, I had another thought as you guys are talking.
Okay.
Boundaries often solve anger problems.
Yeah.
When we'll just send you boundaries with kids, you know, which teaches you what to accept, not to accept, because when you said you're kind of the pleaser, get along to go along, they tend to get run all over and that makes you mad. So boundaries will help you not feel that too. So you got a lot of solutions here.
All right. And just one final thing. Never met a sex addict who didn't have a severe anger problem. I would be asking my husband, how you doing on pornography, making sure that that's not a big part of all of this sexual frustration, that whole thing. Let's go to Mona, San Diego, California. Listens online. How you doing, Mona?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How can we help?
Okay, I want to know what God's view is on divorce and separation. I'm married to a narcissist. I mean, a total no regard whatsoever for me. There's emotional, verbal abuse. And never any repentance or sorry for anything. He pretty much will lie and manipulate to cause others to believe that he's something other than he is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually currently involved in a CPTSD group for help on you know, the post-traumatic stress because my childhood was pretty bad as well.
What kind of help have you gotten for yourself in dealing with him?
I've gone to see accounts as psychologist for a number of years, and also another counselor through one of the churches. And I've also done some therapy with my pastor at church when I used to live in Ohio, and he involved himself a little bit too. And the pastor said to him that he told him, he goes, I am not going to take my time anymore to work with you because he goes, you're absolutely not going to do anything or cooperate with any of the things that I suggest.
Okay.
He even went to AA, and they told him the same, Al-Anon, and they told him, we're not going to work with you anymore because you're not going to do what we suggest.
And he's hit you before, is that right?
Well, he pushed me down a couple times, yeah.
Okay. John, any hope for him?
Yeah, I'm really sad hearing what you had to go through, and it sounds like you have been serious about your own growth, and you're getting really bad.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sorry. So your question is, what's the Bible say about divorce and separation?
Mm-hmm. In regards to being with someone like that.
Yeah.
He's just no regard for me whatsoever.
Well, there's a lot of variance in that. I'll tell you my view, and you know, people have conversations about it. I would suggest before you go to that level of the end game of then having to figure out what's justifiable and not, is to get with somebody who's good, a good therapist, and talk about what's called a structured separation.
Okay.
And a structured separation is not like, well, I'm moving out and, you know, goodbye. That's just a timeout. Timeouts doesn't, there's not a lot of growth happening in a timeout. Structured separation is when you've got a good therapist who quarterbacks the whole deal and says, okay, now your work while you're in your place is to, you know, get better boundaries and get support and find out what you've done to do things and to suggest these things for him and just to tell him, if you value me and miss me and I miss you, I would hope that you would do these things and then we get back together again. It tends to have two results, three results. One is that the person kind of goes, well, I like having you around because you're nice and you're warm and you're fun to be with and, gosh. And they start to change. The second is that they blow up and say, well, if you're going to leave me, I don't care. Then they, you know, then they just go into divorce. And the third is that they're passive and they go into limbo and go, well, I don't miss you that much, but I don't want to get a divorce. And then you have to have this very full life with a lot of friends and love and support and activities. Those are the three ten outcomes that happen. But if you're at the point now that it's not livable, a structured separation with the right person who understands how to create the requirements and criteria is a good idea.
Okay.
I'm
right.
So sorry, Mona.
I've never heard of that before, so.
I'm sorry? You never have?
I've never heard of structured separation.
Yeah. Google it, and I write about it in various books and that sort of thing. There's some of that's in Beyond Boundaries.
Okay. I'm going to send that book to you. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. We've talked about this separation with an agenda, with a structure for a long time, and it is so very different than walking out the door.
It's a timeout.
Yeah. The problem with the narcissist, no insight into that horrifically, horrifically deep wound.
No.
One of the books in the Arterburn Wellness series is Understanding and Loving a Person with Narcissistic Personality Disorder. And it is tough.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah. Mm. I'll get that to you. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Hey, life is hard.
Life
it's
is
difficult.
Hard.
It's complicated.
We love
wish
all you guys,
wasn't.
And we just feel bad for your struggles. And God has answers, but it's not easy.
Don't give up.
Right.
Whatever you're doing. And, yes?
Can I add a thought?
Yes, but we got to turn you up. Because,
now is it, okay, now it's good. Because if I heard Mona correctly, she said that her husband had been to treatment and he had been to AA and was essentially kicked out because he wasn't doing enough of the work.
I think so. Did he go to
sound like that?
Yeah, okay.
So I wonder also, though, if he has gotten treatment, because if he's been willing to go, but has he been with the right person who has the knowledge of working with a narcissist to help move them in the right direction?
That's a good point. Like, a person who understands narcissism will say, well, you screwed up again, you regressed, but they'll keep working with them and confronting the issues and going deeper as opposed to you didn't meet the criteria. Mm-hmm. That's a good point, Alice.
Yep. All right. So if you are living with a personality disordered person, not happy. I know. and it isn't going to go away. But you got to
really
do the
true.
Best you can. You got to find the help for yourself. You got to.
And
explore.
Be the healthiest person you can.
Yeah.
To help detoxify what's going on.
Yeah, because if you're reacting.
Right.
and escalating, making it worse.
All right. And you got two personality disorders.
Yes, you do. Let's go to Ann, Cypress, Texas. KKHT. Ann, how you doing? Ann, are you there?
I'm not okay.
You're not okay.
Thank you for being honest, Ann.
Oh, Ann.
And, of course, we always say this is the place where it's okay to not be okay.
There you go.
Okay? So, Ann, how can we help you?
I'm separated from good friends. I can't make it alone. I had a traumatic experience. I don't want to relive my traumatic experience. How do I move on after someone has said betrayed me?
How did you get to betrayed there? What happened?
They said things about me to others.
You were gossiped about.
Yes.
And because of that, have you pulled back from most people in your life? Are you isolated now?
Yes.
Okay.
And so, yeah, go ahead.
I'm separated from good friends.
What did they say about you that wasn't true?
I don't. Well, other friends started calling me a liar, so they said that I was a liar.
Okay.
So, have you gotten any help for trying to get over this? You working with anybody, and just out there on your own? What's going on?
Well, I go to the local church, mm-hmm. and that's the only. I haven't been getting counseling.
Okay. Have you ever thought about that? That might help you. With all your relationships?
Yes.
Yeah.
And a real difficult truth is that we are hurt in relationship and then we find healing again in relationship. But the way we pick the relationships in which to engage is paramount because we have to pick safe enough people. It makes all the sense in the world that you've been deeply hurt and so you've pulled back from people. But the tough answer is you're going to need people in order to be able to heal. And maybe the only safe person is a professional who is trained and bound by legal and ethical rules to treat you with great caution in relationship, but to give you the kind of truth and grace that you need. And those usually come from other people. They don't come in isolation.
Yeah.
How can she move on from this, John? What do you think?
I think that if you've lost a lot of friends because somebody's gossiping about you, then you don't have really healthy friends because friends don't take gossip and they go, well, she has her point of view and I want to hear her side of it and all that. And if they're just leaving you because of a third party, we've got some problems in the people that you're around and picking. So I think sort of like Alice and Steve were saying, you need to see a counselor who can help you find and be around the right kind of people who will be good to you and safe for you. I wrote a book about it called Safe People, so that the gossipers will be kind of out of your system. You don't need that.
And sometimes we get a sense from callers that the one thing they're talking about, that there are deeper things that they could deal with. And then this symptom of mm-hmm. the betrayal and it hurting so much and mm-hmm. That all of that can get better when you go a little bit deeper. And so, I don't like for people to call for answers and then our answer isn't like 1, 2, 3, but like go see a counselor. But I really, really think... Yeah. That you could get deeper into understanding yourself. And who knows, there may be some treatment for you that you've never even looked at before.
Well, Steve, when we're hitting up into this against this problem and it becomes a pattern, we also do have to look at how might I possibly be playing a role in this happening over and over again to me.
Yeah, right.
That's a scary thought, but there's power in that,
Ann. That's right. Yeah. So a professional can help you stop... Just the same kind of thing, same kind of impact over and over again. We'll help you find that. And then what was the book that you think?
Save People.
What a great book. We need those. Don't always find them in a church or at work. You need them, though. We can help you. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here on his birthday and getting to celebrate that with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Alice Benton, and you. And really glad that you're with us here today. A gift to this ministry is a gift of ministry to someone else.
The best birthday gift you could get.
Yes. $18 for every day before I was born in June, or whatever. But here's the thing. We love all the stuff we do, the therapists that we have in our network, Christian counselors, the workshops. But so many people tell us that the radio program itself, only counseling that they were able to receive, they were in a remote area or whatever, and that's what you're supporting, is life transformation through communicating this message.
Steve, I had somebody say, thank you for the show, and I was speaking somewhere in this. I said, are things better? And they said, well, I wouldn't be here. And I thought, ooh. Oh, you won't be here. Like, you wouldn't drive here. And I'm like, you don't get it. I wouldn't be here. Yeah. So if you want to give the program, you're talking about serious transformation and
life-saving
stuff.
That's right. That's why we do it, and it's not easy. And we can't do it without you. Help us. I'll send you 100 days of prayer. Right now, let's move on to Michelle, calling from Atlanta, Georgia, listens on WNIV. Hi there. How you doing?
Hey.
How can we help today? Hi. Yeah. What's going on?
Well, I've been listening to your show for a long time now. And I just calling about, I'm just calling about my son. He is 22 years old, and he has a wonderful heart, but he very difficult to talk to.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense or not, but like he lives in another town and went to school part-time, but now he works full-time. And you know, if I even talk to him on the phone, if I ask him a question, he doesn't like it. You know, he just gets his back up. And
So if you were looking back over his life, what would you say might be a source of deep bitterness, resentment, and anger? Can you think of anything? Did someone, dad, brother, sister, anybody?
Yourself.
Yourself. Do some stuff that he just has not gotten over.
I sometimes think he's a little jealous of his older brother, but he loves him very much, and they really are pretty close. They're like 6.5 years apart. But when he was in high school, he came to me his senior year, and he told me he thought he had OCD, and we did go and get help, and I don't know. I kind of feel like right around that time, I think I've heard that OCD is sometimes triggered by really like quick things someone says to you. And I think it was this girl at school said something to him, and it just, all of a sudden he just, you know, and he came to me and he wanted to go get some help, and he did get, you know, on medication. And it was a very, very difficult time.
So. When did you notice the difference in his stance toward you of feeling, you know, pushing back and getting his back up when you asked questions? When did that happen? Around the same time?
I kind of think it happened when he was a teenager. You know, I just keep thinking that if I give him space and try not to ask too many questions. Unfortunately, I'm the mom, and you know, his brother and his dad, they can talk to him about sports and all different things. I just would like to know what I can do.
Yeah, there's a little technique called talking about talking.
Okay.
And what it's called, a meta conversation, where you take a conversation to a higher level, where you, next time you call or visit or whatever, say, I need your feedback. Because every time I call, I make you mad, and that's hard for me and probably not for you. I need to know what I'm doing to make you feel the way you're feeling, because you sound like everything's really cool with, you know, your dad and your brother. Tell me what I do that irritates or pushes you back or alienates you, because I really want to be a great relationship with you. If you don't do that, you're going to be throwing darts at a dartboard blindfolded, trying to figure, do I give more grace, do I give more truth? And you could be throwing those darts at the wrong wall. But if you get it from the horse's mouth, where he goes, well, you're pushy, or you always want to give me advice, or you want to ask me about private stuff, then you got something to work with. So have the conversation about the conversation.
Have you done that?
I have kind of, you know, said to him before, you know, I mean, he's been kind of like disrespectful and kind of mean almost words to me. And then I just say, well, you know, I've had enough of this.
Okay, you did just the opposite of what I said.
Yeah.
You did just the opposite of what I said. I said to ask, and you said, yeah, I've done it. I've told. Well, ask and tell, especially to a 21-year-old young man with his dad, with his mom, they're very different.
Let me give you a perfect example of what you're saying. I know a mother that said to her son, I gave birth to you. Now wait, here's what she meant.
Okay.
I love you with everything I have.
That was in her heart.
That was in her heart. Here's what he heard. I own you.
That's a perfect example.
You owe me everything.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to have the conversation about the conversation so she would understand that this thing she felt. Don't say that because he hears that differently. So say, I love you with everything I've got, not I gave birth to you.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got to have that conversation. And boy, I'll tell you, what a gift when somebody cares enough to stop telling and ask, anything I could do to facilitate.
It changes the picture.
Yeah. All right. Alice, I know you got something to say, but I think we got to go to Rhonda.
She's bursting, Steve. She has information for us.
I got pearls.
Pearls, I'm telling you.
We can go on.
Okay. Well, you're going to help Rhonda from Denver, Colorado, listening on the internet. Hey, Rhonda, how are you? How are you, Rhonda? Maybe not. Is Rhonda there? Looks like she's... Oh, hi.
Oh, there you are.
How are you?
Hi.
How could we help you?
I was told by a friend of my daughter-in-law's that he had knowledge that she had been having an affair. And I told my son, which upset my son. I thought I made a mistake, so then I told her, and that caused a mess, too. And she said she was going to take the kids and leave and that I couldn't have the kids. And I said, don't worry, I'll leave. And now I'm wondering if I should leave or make amends. Or I don't know for a fact that she is having a relationship, but I know she's very close to the guy that the friend said she was having a relationship with. Mm. And she did admit that 12 years ago she did, but not recently. Mm-hmm. He said recently. He said no. Mm-hmm. And I guess my question is, should I stay living with my son and that, or should I just find my own place and move on?
Well, let's start with Alice. Alice, is this a thing where you move on, or do you try to work through it, or what?
Rhonda, since this all happened, have you sat down with your son and your daughter-in-law and had a calm conversation together about this?
I had a conversation with my son, and he cried. And a few days later, well, a day or so later, I tried to have a conversation with her. And she started screaming, yelling, slamming things, threatening. And I told her, sit down and talk to me. I need, to work this out. We need to work this out and that. And she wouldn't. She locked me in the house. And and the way she locked me in is she slammed the door and it wouldn't open. She broke the door. And then a few days later, my son said, will you come in and talk about it and straighten it out, And I said, no, I just don't see any reason to straighten it out. I put money into the household. She does marijuana. And this guy telling me that she was having the affair, she goes on marijuana runs with the guy that she's supposed to have slept with. And she told me, in fact, she did sleep with him 12 years ago, but the guy's lying that she hasn't slept with him recently. And I put money into the house, and I have a lot of issues with her child rearing, her housekeeping.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Rhonda?
All of that.
We're going to give you some help after this break. Okay?
Can I ask a really quick question, Rhonda? We've got to go right now, but we'll be back. Do you want to stay there?
Okay.
Do you want to stay there?
I feel guilty not helping my son because he broke his hand.
Okay, we got to go, but you want to stay there. We'll be right back.
You are listening to New Life Live, where we come face to face with the complex, the difficult, really the realities of life, like we sometimes can't even imagine. We're going to give some hope and help and healing right after this here on New Life.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Hardmere. I want to remind everybody, July the 20th, that's the Marriage Intensive in D.C., July 6th, Every Man's Battle coming right up. Get the help that you need. You won't regret it. John, what do you think? For Rhonda, who is wanting to do a move out, what do I do? I've suggested there was an affair. It's rough.
Yep. Rhonda, it's complicated, right?
Yes, it is. And I've already put a deposit on an apartment if I'm approved for the apartment, which I don't know yet. It takes a week.
Okay.
All right. I can't understand why somebody would want to stay there,
yeah,
honestly.
Me either.
I just sound like it's miserable. And, you know, people have to have their house to be a haven. And I know you've got money into it. And that's why I pushed you so hard last time was like, well, do you want to be there or not? Because if I had the money and the means, I'd want to go somewhere else to have some peace and quiet so I could love these people and get forgiveness and give forgiveness and bring structure and help them as they work out their chaos. They got massive chaos ahead of them. I mean, there's kids involved in marijuana and maybe infidelity. So if you're saying I could with a clear conscience leave, here's what I would do. I would leave, and then I would say, I don't think I would do anything with the relationship until I was out free and clear. I think that you're being there, she sounds kind of unstable, increases, and it's called exacerbation. It exacerbates her instability having you there, and I would think there'd be risk for more acting out, maybe kid stuff. So get moved out, and then once you're settled in, say, I'd like to have a lunch in a neutral place, you know, restaurant or whatever, and say, I need to just apologize for loose lips sink ship, you know, for talking out of turn. And I'm not going to ruin you guys' life, and I'm really sorry, and hope we can be friends, and then let them do what they do.
I would only back that up, Rhonda, because you want to maintain as much relationship as possible because of your grandkids,
there
especially.
You go.
And so taking the beam out of your own eye is what you have the power over.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But I don't think they can hear it until you're gone.
Yeah,
that's right.
I think that's wise.
Good. Final caller, Lynn, Sacramento. KFIA is the station she listens to. Hi, Lynn. Welcome to New Life. Nothing.
My question
okay.
is...
Yes. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to inquire about divorce and remarriage. I understand that if you don't have, you know, if there's no infidelity, it's my understanding that you are not able to remarry. There was verbal abuse, emotional abuse, and my husband and I divorced about 7.5 years ago. He has remarried, and I feel obligated. I feel that biblically I am not eligible to date or remarry because we had no justification. So I just wanted to get some clarification on that.
Well, Lynn, I'm just going to say this. Most people would say that since he has remarried and has had sexual intimacy with someone else, then you would be free to marry.
I take the same position. I think that's what the Bible teaches.
Can you live with that?
Well, I don't know. I feel like for the reasons why we divorced, it comes back to we divorced without scriptural ground.
Yeah, let's suppose you divorced because somebody picked their nose, and that wasn't legit. I get that, and I totally agree with that. But he broke the vow when he remarried. He had sex with somebody else when y'all were in an illegitimate divorce, so you're fine. You're free to go.
Yeah. I think a lot of folks would be saying the exact same thing there.
So get on a good Christian singles website and start dating.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Very complex issue. Now, I want to give you a couple of reminders, and I don't know if we've really stressed it enough, but if you want to take leadership to another level, there are two routes. You can get a real live degree, a master's degree in
Counseling, executive coaching, or organizational leadership.
It's called the Townsend Institute with Concordia University, and you can find out about that at drtownsend.com. There's another route you could take. If you don't want to be part of the formal system and all, you can become part of the leadership program.
Yep. And then you meet in teams around the country, and I got people I've trained, and they teach you how to, A, learn the task, which is strategy, vision, casting, organization, but you learn the people skills, EQ, emotional intelligence, how to motivate people.
John's in California. I live in Indianapolis. We have friends who are part of that leadership program, and they are so blessed by it. I would just say this. If you're wanting to just improve yourself a little bit, develop some new skills for whatever reason, go to the drtownsend.com. See what's there. It might be one course, might be just getting involved for like a year, 6 months. I don't know. But check it out. See what's there. I think it really could benefit you greatly. He's got a new book out. We want to remind you of this, Leading from Your Gut. I don't know what you lead from. But you've got some intuition, you've got some insight, some wisdom, and this is really going to help you with it. I mean, this kind of takes you beyond leading like that because it gives you the information that you need. And I must mention that if you're one of the seven people in the Christian community that have not read Boundaries, the new edition, it's a great one. It's got all the stuff about social media and new technology in there. Pick up a copy of it. You will not regret it. We've got some wonderful things coming up here at New Life, but nothing we have coming up is going down unless you step up and support this ministry. Did you stay with me on that? The up part, the down, the...
I went to another level. Here's my level. Is all I was thinking was, this poor boy, is his birthday. Support the ministry yes. that this poor boy has done for 30 faithful years. And I'm not kidding. 30 yeah. faithful years of sticking with this, and that's so rare in the Christian community. And today's his birthday. So yeah,
June 18th. So since it's my birthday, I'm not asking for a lot, but $1,800 from every person listening would be a great way to support the ministry. Anyway, we love you. We care about you. And we want to be doing this for another 30 years. I probably won't be the one. But there are people that need this kind of ministry. We love the teaching programs, the preaching programs, but this is different. We talk about what you want to talk about. So help us, support us. A gift of any amount, I'll send you the book, 100 Days of Prayer. It's really good. I think you'll love it. And then if you could join Club New Life, we'll thank you with our best thank you we've ever done. It's all 8 books in the Arterburn Wellness Series, and I know there's one in there that you'll love. You've got friends that need this. It's understanding and loving a person with, my favorite, attention deficit disorder. I want more people to understand and love me. And then we've got depression, bipolar. You have the person that's struggling with sexual addiction or drug and alcohol addiction.
That's practical.
Very practical stuff, and we give you the upside in all of those things. Now, if you need help, this is the place. We've got counselors all over the country. We've got our marriage intensive coming up where intimacy, that's what we talk about at all levels. Restore for women who have been married to somebody, or you are married, or you dated, but you've been impacted by somebody with a sexual integrity problem. That's coming up. And then, of course, every month we do Every Man's Battle. July the 4th, we celebrate independence. But on July the 6th, you could become free from a sexual addiction or an obsession or a compulsion, where this could be the greatest summer of your life because you stepped up and did what you know you've needed to do. There's a reason it's called Every Man's Battle. Every guy's got to come to grips with this and do what needs to be done. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. There's somebody there. They woke up this morning and they said, we're going to go save somebody's life. And that's what they do. It's not like a lifeguard that gets paid to watch people not die. This, we help people. We're in the tank. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.